Hello, and welcome to another episode of Bridging the Gap, a podcast of the Governmental Accounting Standards Board. I am Joel Black, Chair of the GASB. In this episode, our host, Matt Broder, Vice President of Communications for the Financial Accounting Foundation, talks to Joe Wickland, a project manager at the GASB. Their conversation is about an exposure draft of a proposed standard on infrastructure assets. In this conversation, Joe mentions that our research showed an opportunity to improve guidance to enhance consistency and comparability. What we heard from many users of the financial report was, for infrastructure assets in particular, the carrying value on the statement of net position wasn't always very reflective of the current condition of those assets, and or they wanted more information on how governments are maintaining or preserving those infrastructure assets. The comment period for this proposal ends June 26, 2026. Now let's listen in to Matt and Joe's conversation.
Joel, thank you so much. And it is great to be back here on the podcast. We have with us today Joe Wickland from the Governmental Accounting Standards Board. And Joe is here to talk with us about the recently issued exposure draft on infrastructure assets that the GASB issued. So, Joe, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks, Matt. Great to be here.
Terrific. Let's get started. This new exposure draft is about infrastructure assets. So let's just baseline this. What is an infrastructure asset in the way that the GASB thinks about it for the purposes of this project?
Yeah, so when we talk about infrastructure assets, we're talking about those long-lived capital assets. They exist in networks, they're stationary in nature, and they can be maintained or preserved for a significant number of years. And so really what we're talking about would be roads, bridges, tunnels, water and sewer, telecommunication towers, things like that.
Okay, so the really expensive, heavy capital asset type things that you find in any city, town, state, yep, et cetera. Great. Good. This is an issue, obviously, for state and local governments, and it's one that the GASB has been interested in for quite some time. Can you share a little bit of the background of this project and how the GASB sort of came to focus on this on its agenda?
Yeah. So guidance requiring the recognition of infrastructure assets using governmental activities as capital assets really started with the implementation of Statement 34, which goes all the way back to 1999. Infrastructure assets were identified in that guidance as a type of major class of capital asset. And so that guidance required infrastructure assets to follow the same accounting and reporting requirements as capital assets. And that included reporting them at historical cost, net of accumulated depreciation, essentially depreciating them. But it also allowed unique to infrastructure assets an exception that governments could instead use an optional method known as the modified approach to report infrastructure assets.
Okay.
So instead of depreciating them, it was you're expensing preservation costs.
Okay. So this has been certainly on the GASB's radar for, gosh, a quarter century now.
Yeah. And so following about 20 years of that guidance being out there, in 2021 through 2023, the project staff had performed research on capital assets more broadly, and that research identified some opportunities to develop updated guidance to enhance consistency and comparability for reporting infrastructure assets.
Okay, so that sounds like we're really getting now to the actual exposure draft that you guys issued earlier in April. But before that exposure draft came out, there was a document called the Preliminary Views, which the GASB issued in 2024. So before we get to this specific project, in general, sort of an abstract, can you explain what is a Preliminary Views document versus what this exposure draft or what an exposure draft would include?
Yeah, so Preliminary Views is a due process document issued by the board that is intended to set forth one or more preliminary views, basically early views that the board may have on certain topics. Typically, it'd be used for projects where topics might be a little bit more complex or there might be some differing views on those topics. And it provides an opportunity for stakeholders to, give feedback to the board regarding those views. It's informative for developing the guidance that would then be proposed in an exposure draft. And so that document is kind of structured in a chapter format with subtopics, with the board's views followed by the rationale for those views. But when you get to an exposure draft, that's, you know, the final stage of due process. It's that last step before a final standard is issued. It reflects consideration of the research conducted by the staff, input from members of the Governmental Accounting Standards Advisory Council, and any previous due process feedback that we'd receive from stakeholders. One difference here is that an exposure draft is structured similar to the final standard. You'd have the proposed guidance, the basis for conclusions, illustrations if provided, codification instructions, items like that. And so it gives stakeholders, I think, a clearer view of what the final guidance could look like. And again, another opportunity for them to provide feedback about those proposals.
So these are essentially milestones on the road to a final standard, but reflect early stage thinking, later stage thinking, getting closer and closer to what the board will finally decide relative to a new standard.
That's correct.
Got it. What are some of the elements of this exposure draft that might be of special interest to stakeholders interested in infrastructure assets?
Yeah, so a couple things. Some things related to recognition and measurement for infrastructure assets that are being depreciated. The first is if a component of an infrastructure asset has a cost that is significant in relation to the total cost of the infrastructure asset, and the estimated useful life of that component is substantially different from the overall infrastructure asset, then you would depreciate that component separately using its own estimated useful life. The second would be that the proposed guidance also would emphasize the requirement for governments to perform periodic reviews of the estimated useful lives and salvage values used to depreciate infrastructure assets. And there are also some proposals related to note disclosures about infrastructure assets. So for example, I'd mentioned that existing note disclosures about capital assets are separated by major class, and that historically under Statement 34, infrastructure assets are considered a major class of capital assets. Well, that single line for infrastructure could contain multiple different types of networks, roads, you know, water and sewer, bridges, communication networks. And so the proposed guidance would require governments to separate information about infrastructure assets in note disclosures by network of infrastructure asset. The proposed guidance also would require governments with a policy for monitoring the maintenance and preservation of their infrastructure assets to briefly describe that policy in the notes to their financial statements. And then lastly, for infrastructure assets that are being depreciated, well, sometimes those infrastructure assets are fully depreciated or getting near the end of their estimated useful lives. And the proposed guidance in the exposure draft would require governments to disclose additional information about those assets exceeding 80% of their useful lives, and then separating that out between the ones that are fully depreciated from the ones that are above 80% depreciated. And specifically, governments would disclose the historical cost, the accumulated depreciation, and the historical cost weighted average age of those assets that have exceeded the 80% of their estimated useful lives. And again, by network.
So there's a lot going on in this exposure draft. I'm interested in understanding how the board's thinking evolved from the preliminary views document based on stakeholder input. What may have changed or evolved between that initial preliminary views to the exposure draft that is out there now?
Yeah, well, certainly there are some changes the board have made from the preliminary views that you'll see reflected in the exposure draft. With regard to note disclosures, the board did not carry forward a proposed requirement in the preliminary views for governments to disclose current period amounts of maintenance or preservation expenses related to infrastructure assets. And then one of the items we just talked about, that proposal to disclose infrastructure assets that are being depreciated that have exceeded 80% of their estimated useful lives, well, that was in the preliminary views. But at that point, it was just the historical cost of those assets. And so to provide additional information about the amount and age of those infrastructure assets, the board also decided to require that both the amount of the accumulated depreciation and the historical cost weighted average age of those infrastructure assets also be disclosed. And then another item more specific to exposure drafts in general is proposed guidance related to transition provisions. So the exposure draft proposes a prospective approach for fiscal years beginning after June 15th, 2028. with some exceptions, right? The proposals related to components of infrastructure assets would apply to items acquired after the beginning of the period in which the guidance is implemented. The proposals related to performing a review of the estimated useful lives and salvage values of infrastructure assets would be applied to infrastructure assets held at the beginning of the reporting period. And so we talked a little bit ago about that proposal to perform this review periodically. Well, as currently proposed, the first of those reviews would be done as a part of implementation, and any changes adopted because of that review would be reported retroactively. And then lastly, proposals related to separating infrastructure assets for node disclosures and RSI by network would be applied at the beginning of the reporting period in which that guidance is implemented.
Well, I know your stakeholders are following this closely because just about every government out there has infrastructure assets to deal with. How much time are you giving people to respond to the exposure draft and provide input to the board?
Yeah, well, it's absolutely important that we hear from stakeholders on the requirements proposed in the exposure draft. The deadline for providing written feedback is June 26, 2026. Instructions are provided at the front of the exposure draft for how to submit comments, but basically either through a comment letter or through our electronic input form. Additionally, the board is also conducting public forums for the purpose of obtaining information from interested individuals and organizations about the requirements proposed in the exposure draft. The first one's going to be held right here in Norwalk, Connecticut on June 23rd, 2026. And stakeholders wishing to participate in that forum should provide written notice of intent to participate by June 12th. There's also going to be two virtual sessions, July 13th and July 23rd, 2026. And stakeholders wishing to participate in those forums should provide written notice of intent to participate by June 26th.
So plenty of opportunity for people to weigh in, give feedback to the GASB on this. Once all of that feedback is collected, what does the board do? What happens afterwards? What is the future of the project look like?
Yeah, so all things on track. As I mentioned, the comment period is going to close on June 26th. So once that wraps, the board is expected to begin redeliberation on the proposed requirements starting at its August 2026 meeting, and a final standard is expected in spring of 2027.
So we have something to look forward to, which is to have you come back here later after to the podcast afterwards to tell us how the whole feedback process went and where the board is going and ultimately what the final standard is. So Joe, thank you for joining us on Bridging the Gap, and we look forward to having you back on the show.
Looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you all so much for tuning in with us to this episode of Bridging the Gap. We hope you'll join us again, and please be sure to visit gasb.org/podcast to subscribe and to stay updated on future episodes. You can also follow the GASB on LinkedIn, Facebook, and X, previously Twitter. Bridging the Gap is a production of the Financial Accounting Foundation, produced by myself, Eileen Foley, and brought to audiovisual life by Patrick Dorsman. So until next time, keep balancing those books, crunching those numbers, and embracing the art of financial reporting.